What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome to the Lorehounds podcast, where we don't have an outline because we are recording a lot of things right now, and this is going to be a very hot take kind of situation here. I'm John.
I'm Alicia, and we are here today to talk about the The Secret Order, the new Anne Rice Immortals on AMC show tie-in with Interview of the Vampire and Mayfair Witches, and where do you think this sits between the two of them, John?
You know, I think it's significantly better than the first season of Mayfair Witches.
Right. I said between the two of them. That was very leading of me.
Yeah, it's certainly not better than Interview with the Vampire. That's just off the table. But I will say I kind of enjoyed Mayfair Witches about the same, maybe even a little bit more than
season
I did
two?
This show. Yeah, season two.
Okay.
Season two. I thought season two was a big improvement for Mayfair Witches.
Yeah.
And this show, I think it really struggled to find its foot at first. I think it got to a good place by the end of it. There were some interesting plot lines. There were some interesting mysteries and reveals. But it definitely used the vampires as a crutch, first of all.
Right.
And
they got us in the first episode with that.
Right. And so they used the vampires as a crutch. And then I didn't feel like it was so totally satisfying by the end of the season. Right. That felt like almost like a mid-season reveal.
Right.
So I would have preferred them going further. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I guess, are we doing spoiler-free at first for people who are
watching? We can give vibes. Okay. Let me ask you, is it worth it to watch this if you like either Interview with a Vampire or Mayfair Witches? And maybe different answer.
Yeah, those are two different answers. I mean, I think it's kind of as I expected going in, especially after I saw the trailer that... I do also agree that I thought Mayfair Witches season two was a lot better than season one. And I have to say, you and I did talk about Mayfair Witches season two. We did that one as a what you watch and just for subscribers. I think this one's going public.
Yes, this will be public.
Right. So we did talk about Mayfair Witches season two. And we're kind of giving our hot takes on that here at the same time. For this one, it's a different animal. Now, you know, I've talked about this a lot. I like that in... You know, if you're going to build an entire cinematic or television universe, I like when there's room for different styles within that.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. This is much more like it's more of a procedural feel. And actually, I have to say, toward the beginning of the season, we had our chat going on the Discord, and Ayaz Sadai said, why are people saying that this feels like a BBC procedural? And as soon as I heard that, I was like, yeah, I can't unsee it. And I think it is also this one felt like there were different creatives working in different units. And I have not looked this up to confirm, really. But it felt like there were different creatives working in different units. And a lot of it was filmed in Manchester. And I feel like it was genuinely filmed by a BBC production unit. And it did feel like a television procedural. But is that a bad thing? No, it's just not like if you are a huge Interview of the Vampire fan and you're looking for that, well, you should know from Mayfair Witches already, that's not what you're going to get. But I think that I had fun with this. And I have to say, we just finally got on Netflix in the Netherlands for the first time. All three of these shows at the same time dropped like last week or something. And I put reminders to rewatch. I added to my watch list to rewatch Interview with the Vampire, of course, leading up to season three. And I also did Telemasca, but I did not add Mayfair Witches to my rewatch list.
You know, I will say I don't think you need to. It's definitely not mandatory reading, you know, to watch Telemasca or even Mayfair Witches. I just don't think that at this stage of the Interview with the Vampire arc, like if you're only enjoying Interview with the Vampire, you do not need to go watch either of these shows.
But this one does tie in more, I think, directly than, although I have to say it's a bridge with Mayfair Witches 2, because it does also talk about things established in Mayfair Witches in terms of the Talamasca itself. But I think it ties more into Interview with the Vampire plot-wise, particularly what we get at the very end of the season, which, again, no spoilers, but then Mayfair Witches does, I think.
I don't know if I'd use the word directly. It definitely ties in, but I feel like it's more of a nod and more of a, here's what's happening in that part of the world, you know, in that part of the supernatural underworld. And I mean, I just don't know if Lestat and Louis are really going to get into it with that.
Right. But I think we did get in the trailer, you can see there is a major character crossover in the first episode. But I'm not talking about that as much as I'm talking about where the season ends, which seems to be pointing in the same direction lore wise as where the second Interview with the Vampire season ends.
Okay. All right. Interesting. All right, well, shall we take up the spoiler curtain and you can tell us how you really feel?
Yeah, okay, spoilers. What I'm talking about at the end is that we have Jasper, who is our main vampire character in this show. And at the end, it feels like he's being pulled into something that's called like the Great Conversion in the books. And that also seemed to be what was happening at the end of, I'm thinking particularly at the end of Interview with the Vampire season 2, where Louis's hearing all of the vampire voices in his head talking about this, and this sort of this idea, like we have to, that some have, you know, we have to turn everyone into vampires, basically. And then turn the rest
into
chattel.
What's the long-term plan on that though? Cause you need
human chattel.
Yeah. Yeah, and I will say there were interesting things that Jasper did, like the I almost want to call them demodogs from Stranger right. Things, because we're doing that at the same time, right. But like these half-breed vampires that he's making, right. that are just animalistic. Revenants, you said, that's mm-hmm. what he called them? Yeah, mm-hmm. I can't even remember, but it was interesting. They were like zombies, basically, which was...
We saw those turn up in season 2 of Interview with the Vampire in the Eastern European plotline.
Oh, is that the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't realize that was the same thing. That's why I was like, oh, that's new.
Yeah. But we saw them, like, this is totally new to have Jasper controlling them with a clicker and stuff. I'm like, how does that work? It's fine. Never mind. It's fine.
I just don't understand. Did we get explained exactly, like, how their making was different?
This is mostly based on book lore, but I think the deal is that they are actually dead. Like, they're... not living vampires, but they're killed vampires. Although in Interview with the Vampire season 2 is kind of like I forget the character's name, the vampire character that that Claudia meets. And
yeah, the Italian vampire, you mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is she Italian?
I thought she was Italian.
Oh, I mean, crazy? They were definitely not in Italy.
You're right. I don't know why I thought she was Italian. In my head, she was Italian.
But she thought that it was like she just couldn't make proper vampires or something. So I don't know. It is a bit hazy. And that is also the thing between these three shows is I feel like they don't have a central lore person overlooking them all. And I know Roland Jones, the showrunner of Interview with the Vampire, he did consult on this show. You can tell where he consulted, like the first episode. But I don't think he has time probably to, you know, he's doing the Vampire Lestat, the season 3 of Interview with the Vampire. He doesn't have time to oversee all of this, but they do need that from someone of his taste caliber. And that's the key problem here, is that no one else that they've hired to run shows seems to have the same caliber of taste as Roland Jones. And that's why we're all like, oh, it's not as good as that, you know?
Yeah, it's just there's such an energy to Interview with the Vampire and an ambiance.
Yeah.
That is not present in either of the other shows.
Right.
And I don't know how you fix that without just changing the showrunner.
Right.
and fundamentally changing the show, right? Like,
right.
You almost have to start from scratch with like casting and writing and everything.
I think it's not mandatory that you watch this. I'm pretty sure that anything that's important for Interview with the Vampire will be incorporated in Interview with the Vampire. That being said, it's only 6 episodes and I found it a fun watch.
Yeah. It's fine. It's like, it's kind of mindless at a lot of points. Like they, for a spy show, they really do spell it out for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like not even a 3-step reveal, just like twist.
I liked the whole twist around Doris at yeah. the end, like the whole series of twists in the final episode that got me interested. I thought it set up some interesting things, but okay, should we talk about, we didn't even talk about the main character yet. What do you think about Guy Anatole?
You know, he unfortunately suffers from Ted Mosby syndrome, which is he's the worst character in his own show.
Okay.
He's just so boring. And like, I think the weakest part of this show is him. And not even the acting. I thought the acting was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think the writing was all over the place with him. Like, I just didn't understand what his motivations were at any point.
Right.
And not in like a fun mystery way, but like, I didn't know what he was doing with Jasper. I didn't know where his head was at with half of the stuff. He like forgot about his mom for half the season. And then he was like, oh yeah, that's my main priority all of a sudden again. And I thought he was the weakest point of the season.
I mean, I liked the actor. Like you said, it's not the actor. It's the writing more than the actor. The actor is kind of like a golden retriever sort of. I mean, not the actor, but the character itself. It's kind of like a golden retriever sort of thing where you're not sure. Like, he's obviously intelligent, but probably not very street savvy, which is an unusual character type for a spy. But of course, he has this special mind reading skill that would make him interesting. Speaking of his mother, though, I thought of you in the last moment when Doris said right before it cut to black on the season, by the way, I think I know who your mother is. Is that the bad kind of cliffhanger?
Yeah, I thought it was fine, honestly, because it's a new mystery. But again, I would have rather them wrap it up in this season, right? Like, get to the mother this season. I didn't think that you needed to go to season 2 for that. One other thing with Guy that really threw me off was, you know, he's an Australian actor and he's doing a U.S. accent. And I'm sure he's doing a better U.S. accent than I could do an Australian accent. So I just want to be clear about that. But I'm not an actor, so I'm going to judge him. And he was supposed to have grown up in Detroit. And yes, he went to law school in New York. Mm-hmm. But he sounded like he was trying to do a New York accent most of the time.
But maybe that's what someone who goes to law school in New York does.
I don't think so.
I'm making
I just don't think so. I think maybe like a neutral accent, right? Maybe they don't sound like a Detroiter necessarily. But he was trying to be like Brooklyn, you know? Like he was really trying to lean into the New York of it.
Got it.
And
got it.
Maybe I'm extra sensitive to it as a New Yorker, but I was a little thrown off by that. I was like, somebody from Detroit does not sound like this.
Right, right. Although I do have to say that they handled the integration of Amsterdam, my city, better than Mayfair Witches in terms of both when they showed Amsterdam, it was actually Amsterdam. They had some like drone shots in there where they made it look like I know exactly what building they said was a Talamasca. It's a hotel.
Oh, good.
But yeah, so that was actually Amsterdam when they showed that. Like if you see that night shot where the Talamasca building is burning on the bottom right, left side of the screen, you see this long, low building with a curved roof. That's Amsterdam Central Station. So,
okay. Yeah. So, I'm glad that you said that because I remember I messaged you when they came up and I was like, so was that real Dutch or Amsterdam or Talamasca Dutch? Because Mayfair Witches was bad, right?
Yeah, Mayfair Witches. I wasn't even positive there was, like, I had to read the subtitles to understand them. And then once I saw someone else, like, they're speaking Dutch, I'm like, were they? And then I went back and I'll admit, I was watching Mayfair Witches on double speed. So I slowed it down to normal speed. And I'm like, okay, I can pick it out. But this time I didn't even have to look at the subtitles. I was like, that was just actual Dutch. Yep.
That's good. That's good. Always good to get the language right.
Yeah. What did you think of the intrigue around Olive? We haven't talked about Olive, who the actress Maisie Richardson Sellers is one of those people I just like recognize her face from a bunch of things. Do you know her?
I do not. I do not. Olive? Who's Olive?
She was the one who turned out to be kind of a double agent at the end.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. This show, first of all, it's been like 2 weeks since I finished it because we right. just couldn't get this recording together. And it was one of the characters I cared about the least. Like, you know what I mean? They didn't do a good job of building her up. Like, honestly, she should have been like more up Guy's butt a little bit mm-hmm. to make us suspect her a little bit more or trust her a little bit more. Like, do go either way, but they kind of did neither. Like, she just she was just like almost seducing Guy and then a dick to him for a minute, and then she disappeared for like 3 episodes.
Well, they're kind of setting her up as like the major mystery going into the next season. She's definitely got some kind of persuasive superpowers. We saw her what do you call it? Like her bio or whatever that was in the computer.
Yeah. With a million IDs.
With a million IDs, but also like they suggested that she was a special type of human that had powers. I love how it said ethnicity American.
I feel like a lot of other countries have trouble like understanding American ethnicity ideas, right? Like, because you know what I mean? Like, Americans right. subdivide themselves more than other people subdivide Americans.
Right, right. So we know who to be prejudiced against. No, sorry.
That's right. You know, you have to have your rigid social structures. No. But yeah, no, like, we'll, you know, the fact that we have on our like college admission forms, like check your race and things like that, like it's interesting, right? Like, I feel like I've heard that a lot of other countries don't understand when we say like, I'm an Italian American. Like, no, you're one of those things. Mm-hmm. You're just an American now, right? Like, you grew up in America. You've never been right. to Italy. You're just an American. And they don't understand that, like, a lot of people just use the heritage as part of their identity.
But they call tomato sauce gravy. It's important.
You know, it's funny. I was raised by an Italian American, and we never did that. I've never heard that used that way until later when I met other Italian American families.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. I mean, I grew up in outside Philly, or yeah, in the Philly area, and it's a really heavy Italian population. We grew up with a lot of Italian food, but I think I only really started to hear that when I started to interact with more New York Italians, Italian American.
That's interesting. I didn't even hear that from my grandmother, who was like very, very, very Sicilian. Maybe it's the Sicilians versus the mainland Italians. I don't know. Maybe right. the boots.
Yeah, no, there is. Well, I heard that some of it like was Neapolitan. Like, I was talking to someone I know here from Naples, and I was saying like, oh yeah, and my ex used to pronounce it pasta fagioli instead of pasta fagioli. And he's like, oh, that's very Neapolitan. So I don't know.
That's interesting, yeah, because we said pasta fagioli too, and that we were, you know, and this is like, why are we doing this right now?
Yeah, I don't know.
We're talking about Guy Anatoli. There are no Italian.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we got Guy Anatoli. You know, he's from New York, and he's got to use his accent here.
So what do we think about, okay, Elizabeth, by the way, Maisie Richardson Sellers, I looked it up, and the thing I most know her from is The Originals, the spinoff of The Vampire Diaries, so... But what about the other character, the other actor who I knew going into this was Elizabeth McGovern, she plays Cora on Downton Abbey.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I thought you were going to say The Legend of Cora. But anyway.
No, C-O-R-A.
Got it.
On Downton Abbey. And what was funny, speaking of accents, what was funny about her is she is, like, the actress herself, the real woman, is American, married to a British director, actually. He's directed a lot of Downton Abbey. And she played such a character also on Downton Abbey, where she was an American who was married to a British lord. Hmm. And so her natural speaking is a bit affected in the British way, as makes sense when you're married to a Brit and live in Britain for a long time. But then for this show, especially in the first episode, and then they luckily kind of dropped it. It was like they were forcing her to go full British in her accent. I'm like, why? Why do we have to do this? It was kind of awkward for me at times, but I like her as an actress. The character was another one I wasn't completely sure they knew what to do with. What did you think about Helen, the leader of Talamasca's New York mother house?
Yeah, I would agree. And yeah, the accent was a little all over. I thought they were trying to make her Dutch for a minute. And then it was kind of all over the place, right? They didn't know what to do with it. I did enjoy when guy goes, that's not even your real name, is it? She goes, of course it's not. I thought she was gonna say, you fucking bozo. she really did like not treat him well.
I don't know.
And I really don't understand. This is another reason that I don't understand guy's motivations, is all of a sudden he decides he trusts her, and there really was no like event that made him trust her. I don't understand why he did suddenly.
I mean, I guess lack of other options, perhaps, or like, I suppose, because by the end, she's kind of out of favor at the Talamasca for her own actions. So that kind of puts them more in the same boat. Or also maybe just, referred to the twists at the end, but just the fact that finding out that Doris is her frozen in age vampire twin sister she's been searching for. I did the whole train shenanigans in the last episode was kind of like, I don't know, not working for me. But that moment where the two sisters exchange looks as she's helping them get away, Guy and Doris, that really did work for me.
Yeah, there were emotional beats that work. For me, I just, because if they had just said, okay, if Guy had said this was our only option, right? This is our last resort. We don't have anywhere else to go, Doris. Fine. But Guy didn't say that. He goes, we have to just go with them. And he goes, I don't trust the Talamasca. And Doris says, well, you trust her though. And he kind of like silently agrees. But you didn't do the work for that. You didn't do the emotional work as writers to get me to that point where I understand why he trusts her. Maybe after he finds out what happened to her sister.
Yeah.
But I don't even think that happened at that point.
Well, you mean trusting Doris? Yeah.
No, trusting Helen.
Trusting Helen. Okay. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I suppose I just think the whole thing for me, that the slappiness there comes back to the thing about the storyline with his mother. Like, and I think that that's also part of the problem, is they tried to artificially extend the mystery around Helen in particular, where she's like, ooh, yeah, not telling you things. Like, why? What are we doing here? Just tell him things.
And it wasn't even like a clearance thing, because obviously he's off the books. She's off. Her mission's off the books. She's not following protocol already. It's not like, well, I got you approved for level 3 clearance. Like, that's a real thing in organizations like this. But it was just like at arbitrary times, she's like, I have to keep this from you to protect you. And you're like, from fucking what? At some point, I just wanted to scream that.
Yeah, I mean, he's like in the line of fire. Give him all the information.
You're sending him into a vampire den, but you can't tell him about your sister? Are you fucking kidding me? I'm sorry. All right, now I'm angrier about the show than I was when I'm watching it.
sorry. I mean, I did think it was interesting, again, the twist at the end, where just finding out that these two are sisters means that Guy has a sort of mother-son relationship with Helen. And then there's definitely, like, they're teasing a romance between him and Doris. So that's really interesting to have one sister as, like, a mother figure and the other as, like, a wah-wah-wah-wah.
But did you think that Doris was going to be his mom for a minute? Because I did.
Yes. And then we were talking about it in the Discord chat, and I think it was Aya Sedai was like, well, it doesn't necessarily mean that she's not. But then I think Doris would have reacted differently when she said, I have an idea about your mother.
I agree. But before that, I was convinced that that was his mother. And I thought she was going to be like, call me mommy. And he'd be like, yes, ma'am. And then she'd be like, no, not like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we do watch Game of Thrones, so. But at least they don't usually do parent-children stuff.
That's true. And that's good. Let's not normalize that.
That's a line we can not cross. What did you think about, jumping back to the first episode, that was our two big guest stars of the season. We had Eric Bogosian as Daniel Malloy, one of the main characters in Interview with the Vampire. And then we had a new guest star, Jason Schwartzman, as Burton the Vampire.
I love him. He's such a great actor. Mm-hmm. And he was so sassy in this. I really enjoyed that. And Eric Bogosian, of course, always a pleasure. He was great in Interview with the Vampire. He's great here. I don't know if you saw any of the promos where he was promoting his book in character. And he's reading Twitter questions and he's like, no, fuck off to everything. It's just, I was like, that's so in character. That's so good.
Yeah, especially him as a vampire now where he can be even sassier because he literally has the power now and he's no longer sick. I saw also, it was people online reacting well to Jason Schwartzman's appearance, and they called this vampire character his final form.
That's so true. I still have such an earworm from season one, episode one of Interview with the Vampire, when Daniel is like, he's trying to negatively talk about his first interview, right? And he goes, you know, I was impetuous, and you have after every insult, Louis goes, yes, yes, yes. It's such an earworm to me.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was this is obviously why Roland Jones had consulting. He was like, well, it is funny, just comparing to Mayfair Witches. They're like, can we use one of your vampire characters? They're like, here's a character who has one line in one episode. A bunch of people are going to forget about him. And then Talamasca, they're like, okay, you can have one of our big ones, but we're bringing on our boss to make sure you do it right.
Which is absolutely fair. I mean, you can't fuck up Daniel. If you fuck up Daniel, you've ruined the show.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm really glad that they did that. I only wish that Roland Jones had more time to, or they gave him more power to just oversee more.
Just have him run the show, but he can't, right? Yeah. He's got to run Interview with the Vampire, so I get it. And I'd rather him not split his focus, right? I'd rather him be fully on Interview with the Vampire, the Vampire Lestat, I'm sorry.
Can we let him choose the other showrunners?
That's a good way to do it, right? A feudal state, if you will.
Yeah. Just, I don't know. I enjoyed this, like I said, six episodes. I definitely, like, if you're into this world, it's a fun watch. Do it. Why not? It's a bit messier and has a more, I mean, I don't want to say amateur feeling. That's really going too far. But
I don't think it's going that far.
It doesn't have the same detailed taste.
It's unpolished, right? Yeah, it's a lot more like you said. It's almost like a procedural. But the problem is, a procedural is meant to be like enjoyed for 20 weeks at a time, that's like. The production of a procedural is much more like a day job for regular people, right? It's not this like intense thing like an Interview with a Vampire. It's like, hey, let's show up from 9 to 5 every day. Let's, you know, let's get out an episode a week and let's have a nice, fun adventure of the week and get going.
Yeah. What do you think about some people are afraid that because these other shows like Mayfair Witches and Talamasca are not of the same quality, that it will hurt the longevity chances of Interview with the Vampire? What do you think about that worry?
I don't think so. I think Mayfair Witches, you need at least another season to wrap it up, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry. I'm like, don't even extend it past that. Yeah. It's it's a mercy kill of a show. Yeah. But I think you need at least another season to wrap up Mayfair Witches. I think you could wrap up Talamasca in a movie, like a TV movie, and be done with it, right? Like, the story of Guy and his mom, and then you're done. And you're done.
I mean,
No, I was just going to say, like, Interview with the Vampire obviously has so much more material with the books, and it's got, you know, just much more love in it. I would be fine. Honestly, I would not be heartbroken if these two other shows got canceled as long as Interview with the Vampire stays.
I mean, I would like to have the stories at least wrapped up, even if there's like a, there could be a combo interview, or sorry, Talamasca Witches or something. but I do, yeah, assuming, I think they've already announced season 3 of Mayfair Witches, right?
I believe so. And also, didn't you tell me that like it does better than Interview with the Vampire because of Alexandra Daddario?
Yeah, at least the first season did, which is
this just, is wild to me.
And I think it's also because some people are like, oh, I don't want to watch Interview with the Vampire because there's like homosexuality, which, sigh. Yeah, but when it comes to...
I think
to,
they're just... I'm sorry, I have to interrupt because I think that these men who are homophobic are really just afraid for their feelings for Lestat. They don't want to... They don't want to feel like... Because I just added Lestat to my sexuality. And I don't think they want to feel like they have to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, I think that's often the case.
It comes out of insecurity. Look, just let yourself feel the feelings you're going to feel about Sam Reed as Lestat.
I mean, there is a, I saw someone posted, I think yesterday on Blue Sky. They're like, there was a prompt, like someone who takes both extra testosterone and extra estrogen. And then they showed a picture of Sam Reed as Lestat.
Look. I'm not saying much. I'm just saying that I'd let him drop me from the sky.
Yeah. But okay. But what I was trying to say before is that Mayfair Witches, season 3, it's coming. I'm going to watch it. Talamasca, I actually am more, I want a season 2 of Talamasca, and I will be more excited to watch it than season 3 of Mayfair Witches, even though I will watch them both.
You'll be more excited for Talamasca?
Uh-huh. I was curious about where they left things, and it also because what I was saying about it tying more into the broader plot of Interview with the Vampire.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Okay, so I know this is a world meant for crossovers, but can we please have all crossovers happen on Interview with the Vampire?
That's fair. That's fair. But I also don't... Here's the thing, is like most of the issues with these two shows are writing issues, I think. But there is one character, one actor that I think is an actual detriment every time she's on screen, and that is Alexandra Daddario. And she is unfortunately the main character of the Mayfair Witches universe. And so I just don't want her to cross over into Interview with the Vampire because I don't know. Maybe with better direction, she'll be better. Yeah, I don't know. But I've never seen her in a role where she has more than one look.
Right. I mean, of course, I'm trying to think. I knew her before she was on White Lotus, but now I can't remember what she was on before that.
She was in True Detective Season 1, I know.
She was
in Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And I haven't seen True Detective Season 1, but like everything I've seen her in has just been like one note. And that's, you know, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. I don't know. But I was more into these characters, especially by the end. I just think that they meandered too much. And there is one character who I quite liked by the end of the season. Oh, and I'm going to shout out the YouTube channel, The Naughty Librarian. She does great recaps of all the books. So if it's like, for me, it's been a while since I've read the books. I didn't even read like any books that were released after 2000 or whatever. And she also does recaps, weekly recaps of these episodes. And, she kept calling the agent Bolcott, which I now see. Her name is Ridge in the show, apparently, but in my head, I just call her Agent Bolcott. And she, I kept saying during the season,
Will Byers? No, I'm sorry.
I kept saying during the season that she should be running the Talamasca. So I was heartened at the end. That was another tease that was set up that made me more excited for season 2 to see her and Helen meet and Helen be like, you have interesting skills. Like she's the only one who was like really investigating things.
I know. And that's so common in jobs, right? The people who are, especially in like bureaucracies, the people who are actually moving things are the ones who get punished for being like troublemakers, right?
Right.
Anyway, I have to ask you though, I need a lore check on this. Mm-hmm. So Doris obviously was made into a weaker vampire so that she couldn't rebel, right?
Right.
Could she drink, I don't know, Lestat's blood and become more powerful because he's from the elder line?
Yeah, I mean, at one point, Lestat drinks the blood of Jesus, I think.
Oh my God.
Yeah. and levels up. So yeah, that definitely happened. And you see also in this show, they showed there was the elder vampire, which Jasper took some of his blood and like drank it to heal himself. But that is why they're after the elder vampire blood. But then mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, so the guy asked for a mercy kill, the elder vampire who is being trapped by the other vampires to drain him for his blood. First of all, couldn't they just stop taking blood from him and let him heal? Second of all, if you are going to kill him, why release that blood everywhere? Why not just kill him and take the blood and keep it?
It's a great question. I had a similar thought when that happened, and you're reminding me of it. But I don't know. For the mercy kill part, I think, isn't it said at some point that like some of the older vampires just have trouble with their immortality and start to go crazy?
Yeah, like, I mean, I could see that.
That's why there aren't a ton of older vampires.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you could say that, like after the torture and the longevity, he's just done.
Right.
But yeah, I don't understand about the blood thing. I mean, Jasper was kind of inscrutable at times. I enjoyed the actor. Like, I thought he was pretty mm-hmm. terrifying and a good character.
William Fichtner. Yeah, he's great.
I just didn't understand exactly what he was going for until I guess the end. And then you have the whole, oh, let's turn the whole world. You know, there should be more vampires. Or not enough, right? How many vampires are there in the world? Not enough. I thought that was a good line.
Mm-hmm.
The great turning and all that. And so hopefully we do see the resolution of that in season three, although I'm hoping for some great period pieces with Lestat.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I wonder if any of these, would you like any of these characters from either Mayfair Witches or Talamasca to show up in season three of Interview of the Vampire? For anyone who doesn't know, it's just going to be called The Vampire Lestat because it's based on the second book in the series, which has that title. Would you like to see any of these characters show up there?
I guess I would like to see more resolution of Doris's plotline. I don't give a fuck about Guy. My favorite character in Mayfair Witches, basically everyone except Alexandra Daddario, but I think I would say my favorite is oh my god, now I can't.
Moira, the new one?
I like Moira a lot, but I was uh-huh. gonna say what's his name? Oh my god, I can't think of
it. Oh, it's Cyprian?
No, the oh. dad of the main character, Rowan's dad.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh.
He's possessed right now, though.
Right.
Oh my god, we're again? Terrible at this.
Oh, he's a major character in the books too.
Who is Rowan's dad in Mayfair Witches? Oh, okay, Cortland Mayfair. Thank
Cortland.
You.
Cortland, yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. This is how fast I purged Mayfair Witches from my head.
I guess I would like to see from this show Jasper interact with the other vampires.
Yeah, that would.
It would be fun if Jason cool. Schwartzman showed up too.
Yeah. What if Lestat just like had. He sees Jason Schwartzman like, hello. And he's like, they're like ex-lovers.
Of course they would be. He's like,
I feel like Lestat has just like banged half the vampires in the world.
He's had centuries to get around, so.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I would rather see other characters. Okay, so from, I guess I would like to see the vampire characters from this show up, like not necessarily Doris, but Jasper and Burton, Jason Schwartzman's vampire show up. And from Mayfair Witches, I don't know, like part of me is like, do we want to get Lasher involved? I'm like, no, they need to figure Lasher out before they get him involved anywhere else. I'm going to go pass for now on the Mayfair Witches characters showing up.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else? Anyone else you're thinking about?
Showing up in the next season?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I wouldn't hate it if Helen showed up or something. Oh, nah. We didn't even mention, by the way, that we did have another crossover, an important character for the Interview with the Vampire storyline. Oh my gosh, now I'm forgetting his name too. And he's not here in the character list on Wikipedia. Played by Justin, what's his face? Talamasca, Justin.
This might be the least
Justin Kirk playing. it is literally, we did no notes. Raglan James.
Okay.
Do you know Do you know the deal with, so he, Raglan James was in season two of Interview with the Vampire as a Talamasca agent. And now he showed up in also this Talamasca show. Do you know the deal with him from the books? And can
no
I
idea.
Spoil something about him?
You can spoil something.
Okay, so warning, spoiler, definitely going to come into play. His power in the books, he was a Talamasca agent, yes, and he ended up getting kind of kicked out for stealing something important. Okay, so they were going in that direction for sure, but his major power is that he can do body swaps with people. Or vampires. Oh.
Or vampires.
Mm-hmm.
That's tricky. That's tricksy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for reasons I won't spoil, his story does need to continue on Interview with the Vampire. But yeah, that's interesting that they brought him over here as well, which signals to me also they might be more directly crossing over between these two. They must be setting that up, but that it's not quite time for that yet. Although we don't know with season three, with the Vampire Lestat, like, are they going to combine that with the next book in the series like they did in the movie? You know, there's the bad movie about Queen of the Damned.
I think they probably will include elements of it, at least. I don't know. They got to move a little faster than they have been, right? Because they did two seasons for one book.
Right. But it was the most important book.
Yeah.
And we're finally, and they delayed certain things. Like, we're finally getting Gabrielle in season three, Lestat's mom.
Right.
Right. All right. Sorry. Now we're just,
I feel like there's
veering
just not
into
a lot
the show.
There's we not enough to talk about in this show. Like, it was just a very shallow show, and I would say that's my biggest criticism of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there just wasn't a lot of meat there to dig into. And I don't know. I mean, they had to set the stage. Thing is, I thought the stage was pretty set in Interview with the Vampire in season one, and they did not do that this season, and maybe six episodes was too little. Maybe they just should have made it 8 or 9 episodes and resolved the mother plot line, and I would have felt better. But yeah, I did feel a little like it was fine. Like, I would, if season two comes back, I will watch it.
Right.
But that's the best thing I can say about it.
Right. I'm slightly more positive on it than you are. I think it helped a lot going in, not expecting, you know, that it would be anywhere within the range of caliber of Interview with the Vampire. I was expecting right. something closer to Mayfair Witches. And at least this one had it meandered a bit much and was as, what was the word you used about one character, like inscrutable or something?
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah,
all the motivations were inscrutable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it was also a more direct story in a lot of ways. Like, it felt like it knew where it was going, but not necessarily how to get there in a satisfyingly meandering way.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think a half hour is an appropriate length of podcast for this show. I'll just be honest; like, I just don't think it was that deep of a show.
So. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, okay, what would you give it? What would you give it out of a 5 rating scale?
Oh, 3.
And what would you give?
It was watchable.
What would you give Mayfair Witches season 2?
Season 2?
Mm-hmm.
I would also give it maybe a 3.5. Like, it was just, I had a little more enjoyment with it. There were, you know, I cared more about the characters in that. Maybe because I've spent more time with them. And that's just in general a weakness of modern TV, is that we spend less time with characters. But I just did care more about the characters in Mayfair Witches. And I thought that a lot of the acting was a lot better too. You know, like, Cortland, I think, is a masterclass in
right,
acting.
Right, that's true.
Even Cortland's if I complain great. About Alexandra Daddario, Josephine, great actor in Josephine's the aunt, right? In Mayfair Witches.
Right.
Moira was great. Pretty much everyone around Alexandra Daddario was great. So I think I would give a little bit of an edge to Mayfair Witches season 2.
All right.
Season one was a 2. I just want to be clear. Like,
right,
it was
right, right.
very bad.
Right. I think I'm gonna go. So the opposite, 3.5 to this, 3 to Mayfair Witches season 2. And it's not about the cast or the actors. I think that they all did a good job. I just, this story in this one, I just thought that the writing was a bit more cohesive in this one, and the story hooked me a bit more.
Okay. Scotland wasn't enough to sell it for you, and well, fake Scotland and fake
I did like the production design for Mayfair Witches season 2, particularly that wedding in Scotland. That was fantastic.
Yeah. Costuming was great. Mm-hmm. And this was a little bit more muted in terms of that.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about the mob vampires.
The mob vampires.
Yeah.
The ones who had the ancient vampire. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The vampire mob. I was like, all right, guys, this is getting a little too much.
I mean, that's another one, I guess, teasing for the tying, because there's going to be, with this whole great conversion thing they're setting up, there's going to be conflicting ideas and interests about whether or not this is a good idea.
Uh huh. I can imagine. Hey, let's get rid of our full food supply.
Well, not full food supply, but yeah. I mean, then it's really about, I guess it becomes a story about creating. I just keep hearing, like, I listen to economy podcasts and they keep talking about how there's currently a K-shaped economy where, you know, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer right now. And I feel like they're making a K-shaped humanity where, you know, those who become vampires are more supreme and those who remain humans are now food supply. Like, even more.
That's an interesting way to put it. Yeah. Hmm. Well, I have no more to say about this show. I'm stretching my brain already.
Well, I'm curious if other people watched it, if you have ideas about it. Like we said, we have an Anne Rice Immortal chat under current shows, but I think we're going to move it back to franchises. So there's a Talamasca chat there. We'd love to hear from you. Or do we have a special email address for this, or just Lorehounds?
It's horror@thelorehounds.com still. Okay. I think we might have, by the time of Interview with a Vampire, we might have a special Immortals email. Mm-hmm. But for now, just use horror@thelorehounds.com.
Great.
Yeah. And I promise everyone, we'll be more positive on Interview with the Vampire. It's just that this show was.
Oh, yeah.
We're usually, if you've listened to us long term, this is the first time you're hearing us, is like one of the most negative podcasts we've probably ever recorded. And it's still pretty gentle, I feel like. Yeah.
Yeah. It's for me, this show is okay. Interview with the Vampire, we didn't give ratings for that, but like 5 out of 5, both seasons. Like, if I can give even season 2 a 5+ out of 5, I'm going there. Like, it is literally my favorite show out of all of them, I think.
I think it was my top show last year.
Yeah, it was definitely my top show last year. And the first season was my top show of 2022. So,
you know, I will say, like, I think we could have a long podcast on a show we love and a long podcast on a show we hate. And the reason this is a short podcast is because we are neither here.
Yeah. We're like, it was a show. It's fine. Yeah. It was a show. We went through all 6 episodes watching, and I don't regret it. And I'll watch next season.
It is as generically fine as the name of the main character, you know?
Guy.
My guy.
Yeah, because he's like he's literally just a guy. I guess that was a bit on the nose naming, but maybe that's why in universe, maybe that's why he was given that name, to keep him anonymous.
Whatever you say. That's you're really stretching out here. All right, let's do a quick outro. We're doing a lot of stuff on the network. We got Pluribus going full coverage. You got me and Alicia on Welcome to Derry full coverage with Mark. And yep. What else we got going on?
Yeah, we've got some movie stuff. There's just Predator Badlands just came out. Frankenstein and Wicked. Wicked for Good. I always want to say part 2, but it's called For Good, out of the Best song. And those, will be coming up shortly. And what else we got going on?
We got Christmas coming. And we're doing Action Christmas. I just saw the poll. The action movies won by a landslide, so I don't think there's any chance of the poll going the other way. That's going to be, the subscribers are going to get a Die Hard face-off, and Die Hard versus Die Hard 2, and then the public feed will have a cover of Violent Night.
Right.
That'll be fun.
And the end of year TV top 10, the poll is out for subscribers now on your top 10s. And I saw that David is recording he's talking to the various hosts about their top 3s and biggest misses and all that. So watch out for those pods to come soon.
I'm very stressed about putting together my list.
Yeah, I have, you know what I'm going to do? I have a list of qualifying shows and I think right now it's at like 18 maybe. So I might try to trim that a little bit, and then I'm going to use an algorithm, an app online basically that just helps you rank, where you just put in the items you want to rank and then it just compares like, okay, which do you like better, this or this? And then it does that until you have two at a time ranked all the things.
I have to say for your benefit that Silo does qualify this year. And
yes.
I don't want people to forget because I screwed it with my rules yet last year. So Silo qualifies. You can rank Silo season
and Skeleton Crew for that matter.
Yeah, it's fine. It was fine.
Skeleton Crew is on my qualifying list. We'll see if it makes the rankings.
It's good.
But I really liked it. I really liked it. I like
it's
it better
good,
than
but I don't know if I'd rank it in my top 10, you know?
Yeah, well, I think it's good, and it's eligible for my top 10, but it is a tough year.
Yeah, very tough year. I don't even know what my number one is right now.
No, I don't either. It's going to be a surprise when I do this ranking thing.
Yeah, maybe I'll decide on the pod, you know?
All right.
No. All right, well, want to do a quick... Oh, you know, we didn't talk about the affiliates. Never mind, right. The Music has weekly coverage of music and psychology, and they're doing great. Mm-hmm. Mark's also on... It, Welcome to Derry, mm-hmm. and Nicole was on Pluribus with David.
Right, and she's going to be on the Wicked, not part two, stop saying that, Brain.
For good.
For good, with Marilyn and I.
Radioactive Ramblings is about to cover Fallout Season 2. That's mm-hmm. going to be a lot of fun. And we've got Properly Howard on break right now, Rings and Rituals on break right now. And what do you got on your feeds, Alicia?
Wool Shift Dust is... I'm still finishing up Frankenstein. I got behind there just because I had to do other work so that I could pay rent. Annoying. And so I'm finishing up Frankenstein, still actually going to hopefully put out an episode today. And then Luke and I have already started recording our year two of A Christmas Carol with, I forget how many more new Christmas Carol specials covered.
That's funny. I like it.
Yeah, it's funny. It's fun because we don't have to like recap the plots. We just talk about like, okay, with this one, the Scrooge was that.
Well, I think it's going to be a delight. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that.
We've already made two delightful recordings.
Very nice. All right, let's do our thank yous. I'll do all the right. Discord server boosters if you do the Lore Masters.
All right. I have to find the list somewhere.
All right. You have till the end of the Discord server list.
Ah!
All right.
Okay.
Aaron K. Thank you. Tiller the Thriller. Doove 71. Athena A. Listu. Nancy M. Ghost of Partition. Radioactive Richard and Adrian.
Okay. And I am opening
and our lore masters
are named. That is our highest tier of subscribers, if you don't know. They are named Samarsha, Michael G, Michelle E, SC, Peter OH, Nancy M, Doove 71, Brian E 63, Frederick H, Sarah L, Gareth C, Andra B, Kwong Yu, Nathan T, Sub Zero, Aaron K, Dally V, Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W, Listu, Jeffrey B, Elisa U, Ben B, Scott F, Stephen N, Julia F, Kali S, Ilmariel, Paul K, Rocky Zim, Jessica H, Red Zippy, The TCS, Dopamini, Catch It, and Ellen R, and always last, Adrian.
All right, thank you, everyone. It's been a lovely time discussing a less than lovely show, but a decent show.
It's a lovely enough. It's a pleasant show,
fine,
I suppose.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
And we'll be back with more coverage of the Anne Rice Immortals universe when Interview with the Vampire Season 3 is coming out.
The Vampire List Stop.
See you then.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and comments to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com. Get ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts on Patreon or Supercast, and connect with us on Blue Sky and join us on our Discord server. Links for everything are in the link tree in the show notes of this episode. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.